You know, Carl, in a couple of days, I will leave for Muskoka Lakes region in northern Ontario. It's about 6 or 7, 4 or 5 hours north of Toronto.
Beautiful part of the world.
And there I will have the pleasure of participating in a reading circle and an event with the Muskoka Chautauqua. It's a multidisciplinary arts programming, entertainment, lifelong learning organization. The Chautauqua Society, which we'll get to in just a moment. In fact, let's bring her in. Gail Dempsey is the force behind the Muskoka Chautauqua organization up there in Muskoka Lakes, Canada. Gail, thank you so much for joining us on Smith Sabatino.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
You're welcome. Would you tell me, what is the Chautauqua Society to begin with, and then how does the Muskoka Chautauqua fit into all of that?
Well, actually, it was a movement that swept North America at the turn of the last century, and it was all about arts, culture, and lifelong learning. I think you described it beautifully in your opening remarks, and it stuck in some places in North America. And a venue grew up around it. And there are 13 Chautauquas in the States, beginning with the Mother Chautauqua Institution in New York State, and Lakeside, Ohio Chautauqua, which is actually a year older than the Mother Chautauqua. There are Chautauquas in Texas, Indiana, Maine, a variety of different states.
What's the philosophy, Gail, of the Chautauqua Society?
The philosophy is just to live and promote arts, culture, and lifelong learning. It actually started as a summer school for Sunday school teachers in New York at the Mother Chautauqua Institution. And before too long grew into enveloping a broad range of education, even to the point where they had their own publishing company and published texts on various subjects.
Well, you have a quite a program planned and already ongoing up there in Muskoka. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, the Chautauqua Fest, which you are a part of, a significant part of, is a little new this year in concept, in that we're putting a lot of really great events together in a 9 to 10 day period in August. And so we're starting out with, and we have a number of partnerships with our local library, with a newly resurrected theater company, with a 5-year-old opera company, and several other partners. We're just bringing it all together for one very exciting week and building it also around our reading circle, which has become very significant. One of the significance of the reading circle is that the literary arts were the mainstay of the original Chautauqua in the early 1900s. In fact, Canada, it was known as Canada's summer literary capital, on an island in the middle of Lake Rosseau in Muskoka. We had very significant poets come to visit, and this week we're capturing that in paint on the wall of a Cleveland's House Resort. A building fell down this winter with the snow load and exposed this beautiful long white wall, and the general manager invited us to paint a mural this week. So we chose a scene from a postcard of the original site, with three canoes filled with Canadian poets in the foreground.
Gail, a question. This sounds just wonderful. Is this, in your opinion, as we move into the 21st century, something that has an attraction, or have you planned on an attraction for our young people?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, during this time, we're also running a summer arts day camp. And we have everything from, we've really encompassed all of the arts. Musical arts today, they're learning to play tone chimes, for example. They had a mask maker and a performing artist earlier in the morning this morning. They had a couple leading the group of young people in creating a silent movie, and similar to the Anne of Green Gables silent movie that these filmmakers had produced.
That's fascinating. That is fascinating, Gail. I have, as Roland knows, I have a great interest in education, particularly for our young, and as we move into this technological world of the iPad and all of the rest. But the education on at the base of their appreciation for art.
Yes.
As Roland knows, I have a great appreciation for art in all forms. I used to be a concert pianist before the war took my hand away from me. But the point is that the appreciation for art, its love of art, has such wonderful growing elements beyond just that particular form in life learning as well. Do you agree?
Absolutely and totally. As a matter of fact, we have a program called Kaleidoscope, and through the whole school year, we take artists into the classroom. And we take a look at a lot of big questions through an inquiry process involving the arts. So we use the arts to work through, you know, some of these big questions and to inspire creativity and innovation.
You know, I'm going to ask, Gail, you live in a basically a distant part of Ontario. It's very, very beautiful. The art there comes from nature in so many ways. Do you think that people living in a rural environment, country environment, can get exposure to the arts as much as those who live in a city environment?
I'm really glad you asked that question, because the Chautauqua movement is a rural phenomenon. And I think for that very reason. Certainly, you know, back in the late 1800s, as the movement swept North America, it was rural areas that these tents were put up to bring these kinds of opportunities to rural communities. And that's at the core of the whole movement. And I think now there seems to be quite a significant resurgence. And I think particularly because of the technology, and particularly because so many children don't have the opportunity even to be exposed to the kind of nature that we have in these areas. And they're missing that in their lives. So I think, you know, for those reasons, there is a resurgence. And I know, I think it was not last January, but the January before, the former First Lady Rosalynn Carter invited us to a luncheon at the Florida Chautauqua to find out, those of us who have been resurrecting Chautauquas, what we've been doing and how we've been doing it, because the Carters are very instrumental now in resurrecting the Chautauqua in Georgia, which just opened this year.
Now, that's excellent. Do you think that art appreciation comes from a spiritual awareness, or does it come from an intellectual understanding from education?
Yes.
Yes, both places.
Both places.
And beyond. You know, the heart and the mind and the soul.
Yes, I agree there. You have to have the combination of all three to have what we call today appreciation of any of the arts, whether it's verbal, visual, or music.
Is there a place, Gail, where our listeners across the country here can check it out, to use the vernacular of the day, on a website or something along those lines?
Absolutely. It's Muskoka Chautauqua. .ca, and I'm going to spell that because Chautauqua can be tricky.
Please.
So can Muskoka, I suppose.
Yes.
M-U-S-K-O-K-A C-H-A-U-T-A-U-Q-U-A .ca.
Wonderful.
.ca, that's Canada.
That's Canada.
Yes, it is.
You know, Chautauqua, I mean, is that an Iroquois derivation?
Yes, I believe it was named after the lake that it started on.
Oh, Lake Chautauqua, of course.
In New York,
yes.
Which we have heard, I don't know, 6 or 7 different definitions about, you know, what that word means. And I think it was Iroquois, certainly First Nations.
Yes, indeed.
But the definition that I like the best is coming together in the middle.
Boy, I like that too, and that's why I'm going to be up there with you in the next few days. When this program is on, for the folks who are listening at home, we will be up there in Muskoka Lakes, Ontario, and presenting the Muskoka Chautauqua Fest. So thank you so much, Gail Dempsey, for being with us, and I look forward to seeing you in the next
thank
couple of days.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a good
day. Look forward to seeing you, too.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And this is Smith Sabatino. We're back. Stay with us.
America Weekend. Brand like a rock star with Steve Jones. You don't always get things right the first time. Just ask Whitesnake. They recorded Here I Go Again in 1982, and it wasn't a big hit. Lead singer David Coverdale loved the song, but he didn't like the way one line came out. He felt the word hobo sounded like homo. So in 1987, they recorded it again, changing hobo to drifter, and the song was a number one hit. If you don't like your first effort, don't be afraid to make a few changes to your business plan and try it again. For more ways to make your business rock, visit brandlikearockstar.com.
Get the IRS off your back with one phone call. Talk to a live professional tax relief agent and stop worrying about your tax problems. That's the wall difference. It's easy.
Call 1-800-719-5564.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Is there an easy way to tell how much the love of your life really loves you? Absolutely. Here's the social science of it. Did you know that when you look at something you like, your pupils dilate? Just like the old saying, that caught my eye. Well, not only did your eyes fixate on it, but the pupils dilated, open up just to take in as much of it as they could. And on the opposite note, your pupils constrict, grow smaller when they see something they dislike. So what's the cheap psychological trick? Well, check out your lover's gaze. If their pupils dilate when they see you, it's love at every sight your eyes give you away. They're not just the windows of the soul, but you see, they're lie detectors too. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.